Joshua chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the 2 men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did under the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now, therefore, I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And if it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. Thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's house home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. You may be seated. Notice this here in the Bible. They said, you take this scarlet line that you let us down by, that you were able to bring us to a place of safety. You take this scarlet line and you bind it in the window and you throw it out. And we'll know by that scarlet cord that your house is the place of safety and deliverance. And I want to preach this morning on this subject, the scarlet center and the scarlet cord. Let's pray. Father, as we bow our heads and our hearts, we thank you for the power of God and the touch of God in answer to prayer. We ask you, Lord, to give us grace and power. And Lord, touch us physically. I believe you already have. Thank you for the prayers that have already been prayed. Lord, we pray for that one who has come this way this morning that has never been washed in the red, rich, royal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, may they come to Christ today, and may they trust Him as their Lord and Savior. Lord, may their scarlet sins be washed white as snow in the power of the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in us and through us and with us now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As we were in this chapter the last time, we said that the opening verses deal with the entrance of these spies into the land of Jericho. And we recognize that God allowed these men to go into that land to spy out the land. They came back in the closing verses of this chapter with an explanation to Joshua. It's far, far different from what they had 40 years earlier by those who brought an evil report back to Moses. And the spirit of unbelief prevailed among the Israelites. These two spies had ventured into Rahab's house by the help and by the providential direction of God. It was there in that house and with their encounter with Rahab that God here magnifies His awesome mercy. I thought even last night and early this morning, isn't it marvelous that of all the people in Jericho that God could pluck like a brand from the burning, of all the people in Jericho that God would choose to magnify His mercy toward, it would be probably one of the worst sinners in all of the city of Jericho. Isn't God's mercy amazing? Isn't God's mercy awesome? As He magnifies it, as He saves Rahab in the city of Jericho. Not only does He magnify His mercy, but He verifies His amazing grace. How could God save a fallen woman, a woman with scarlet sins that had stained the record of her life? How could God save her? Well, I think the answer is the same way that He saved you. Amen. The same way that He saved you, God saved Rahab by grace through faith. The same way that He saved you. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, the Bible said, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not when she had received the spies with peace. So we know that God extended His mercy. And Rahab experienced His grace. And it's a vivid illustration of how God can save ungodly and unholy and unworthy sinners and bring them into a relationship with the living God. There are some simple things I want to share with you about Rahab and her salvation here. As a scarlet sinner learns about the scarlet cord. First of all, her guilty condition is very clear on the pages of the Bible. There's no doubt as far as the record of Scripture that Rahab is a corrupt woman. In fact, four times in the record of Joshua, we find out this lady is a harlot woman. She is called often in the Scripture, in Hebrews and in James. She is called the harlot Rahab or Rahab the harlot. And here we're reminded that her life is stained by the scarlet sin of moral impurity. A harlot is a person who has prostituted their body for hire. She had run some type of inn or brothel on the city walls of Jericho. And yet there came a day when she heard about the living God. All of her life she had been told about the idol gods of the Amorites and the Canaanites. Oh, but one day she heard about the living God. And that living God had brought His people across the Red Sea. And had done mighty miracles. And she had plied her trade in the city of Jericho. She was a notorious sinner living in Jericho at the time of the conquest of Joshua. And yet God allows us to see on the pages of the record of history and the Hebrews Hall of Fame. in the testimony of the epistle of James, how a scarlet sinner finds out about a scarlet cord. Now, Rahab's sin is glaring indeed. I can almost hear somebody say, well, I'm not a harlot, or I'm not a whoremonger, I'm not a prostitute, or I'm not a sex trafficker. No, but you're still a sinner in the sight of a holy God. Every one of us are sinners, and we've got to find ourselves as a sinner in His sight before He will take us in and we'll receive Him as Lord and Savior. The Bible testifies that there is no difference in sinners in the sight of God. There may be a comparison to be made, and there are those that like to compare their sins with others and say, well, I'm not what she was. No, but you have to face God for the fact that you are also a sinner in the sight of God. Well, preacher, I have not got the record that Rahab had. No, but you've got to face God for your own record. The reality is, Romans 3:22 said, there is no difference. Oh, there's no difference in the sight of God between degraded sinners and dignified sinners. There's no difference between the man that hangs out at the honky-tonk and the man who goes to the country club. Somebody help me preach a little bit. There's no difference between the high society sinner and the gutter drunk and the bum. They're still in the same condition before a holy God. It does not matter if you're educated or uneducated, if you're rich or you're poor. It matters not your status in society, that you and I before God are still sinners in the sight of a holy God. And so the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, there's six phrases that remind us of the ruin and the guilt of man. The scripture says, there is none righteous. In Romans chapter 3, verse number 10. That is, all of us are unrighteous before a holy God. None of us can claim righteousness in the sight of God unless we have come to Christ and He has imputed to us His pure, perfect, holy righteousness by the gift of God. There is none that understandeth. Oh, you and I are sin blinded and Satan bound, and we cannot comprehend everything that we need to know so we can know God through the intellect. God has to take and open our blinded eyes, and He has to open up our heart and our blinded mind and allow us to understand the simplicity of salvation. The Bible said there's none that seeketh after God. Romans chapter 3, verse number 11. There's none that seeketh after God. You say, oh, I was seeking God. No, you didn't know how to seek God. You were seeking something. You were seeking some missing reality. You were seeking some peace and some solace. You were seeking some satisfaction. You were seeking some type of completion, some emptiness to be filled in your heart, but you were not seeking God. Oh, but I've got good news for you. He was seeking you. The Bible said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, the Bible said, there's none that doeth good. Romans chapter 3, verse number 12. It matters not how much philanthropy you've been involved in. It matters not how much charity you have offered. My friend, those are not things that get us one step closer into the kingdom of God. Oh, there's nothing good for you to offer God that He might accept you. In fact, Isaiah 64:6 says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. And you and I have to come to the grips and to the reality to recognize that there's nothing good about us, but that God gave His good Son.
and that his son gave his blood, and that, thank God, the tomb was vacated on the third day, and the gospel was crowned as good news. There's nothing good about you. Oh, but God's offer is good, and God's salvation is good, and the power of the gospel is good. Hallelujah. Then the Bible said there's no fear of God before their eyes. Oh, you and I never come to fear God or to love Him until the Spirit of God gets a hold of our hearts. Then the Bible said in Romans 3:22, there is no difference. There's no difference, even though you say, preacher, there certainly is room for comparison. I didn't say there was not room for comparison. I said there's no difference. One is just as guilty before God as the other. One is just as condemned before God. One is just as much a sinner before God. One is just as much headed to hell before God. Oh, but you and I, we're going down the highway to hell. And some of us in the fast lane. And about that time, somebody sounded the joyful sound. And somebody said, Jesus saves. And somebody said, there's a Savior on a cross. And He died so you can be born again. And the Holy Ghost called our attention to an old rugged cross. And we were able by God's grace, thank God, to see by the eye of faith what Christ has done for us. All men are sinners in God's sight and in need of a Savior. You and I that are here today, if you're not saved, you need to be saved. Regardless of how many sins you have on your account or how minute you might think they are, you still need the Savior. So Rahab was corrupt, but you and I are also corrupt. And you and I are also sinners in the sight of God. Rahab was condemned. In fact, the place where she lived had been condemned to be destroyed. The city that she lived in and she resided in was a place that had been consigned to destruction. She was living in a city that was going to be destroyed by God, and it was going to be burned with fire. Do you realize that you are headed to a place that is a place of destruction? It's a place of fire. It's a place of God's judgment. And when the walls came down and all the inhabitants died in Jericho, the city was set fire and burned with fire. Only the silver and gold and the spoils of Jericho came into the treasury of the Lord. And so the place where she lived, Joshua 6:21, was condemned to destruction. The people there in the city were also condemned. Deuteronomy 7 reveals that the Amorites and the Canaanites were to be destroyed in the land of Canaan. Rahab was a part of a condemned people that had the sentence of death hanging over their heads. And did you know that you and I are part of a condemned people? The Bible said, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. None of us, my friend, are out from underneath the condemnation unless we have come into the safety and the salvation of Christ. Oh, you can have not one shred of hope that you'll escape hell and make it to heaven unless you have claimed safety through the blood of Christ. Oh, there is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. But the place where she lived and the people that she was a part of had been condemned by God. Well, I thank God for the day when I heard that I was under the judgment of God. I'm thankful there's still some men across this country that still preach that it's Jesus or the judgment. It's heaven or hell. It's salvation or condemnation. Oh, I'm thankful there's still some gospel preachers across the land that are still calling sinners to God. They've not bowed to the philosophies of this hour, and they've not crumbled to the pressure of society, but they have said there's still a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And there's a gift from God that is absolutely free. If you turn from your sin and take Christ as your Savior, though you be condemned, Thank God you can be justified in the presence of God through the blood of Christ. So not only was she corrupt, her guilty condition reveals that she was corrupt. Not only was she corrupt, but she was condemned. Now let me say that God's gracious conviction over her life is portrayed in this story in Joshua chapter 2. In fact, when you read about how she recites, how she come to realize that God was the one that was all powerful and that His plan was going to march forward and that He was going to bring judgment to her people, and that she realized that though she lived in a pagan society, she was a harlot woman, she was living in a heathen culture. No doubt she had been indoctrinated that the gods of her culture were the gods to be worshipped. But something happened to her, Brother Sam. Oh, there came a day when she heard something about the God of Israel. There came a day when she heard something about the God who could part the mighty Red Sea and the God who could deliver His people from His enemies. Oh, the God who could bring His people out and march His people onward to a promised land. She heard about that God and she became convinced not only that He was a God, but that He was the only God. Joshua 2 verse 11, "For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." And so she heard the story of God's might and God's miracle working power. Now she become convinced that the God of the Hebrews, Jehovah God, the God who had brought His people out of Egypt by blood and power, was the only God, and that she had to come into a personal relationship with that same God. And so here in her confession, she begins to portray for us in the scripture here how God brings a person's heart to the end of itself. The wonderful threads of heartfelt conviction are described here in this passage of scripture. In verse 9, she said, "Your terror is fallen upon us." Then in verse number 11, "As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt." Then she said, "Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." In verse 13, she pleaded with them and she said, "And that ye will save alive." She said, "We all need to be saved." Hallelujah. She said, "My brother needs to be saved." She said, "My sister needs to be saved." She said, "My father needs to be saved. And my mother needs to be saved." And said, "The only hope we have is that you'll help us and that you'll spare us and that God will allow us to be saved from the destruction that is to come to the city of Jericho." Her plea was that her family would be saved from this certain destruction. Now, it is remarkable to me that Rahab is experiencing something of what you and I went through before we came to Christ. Oh, the Bible said the terror fell upon her. Thank God for the terror of conviction. When God shakes you from your self-satisfaction, when God, the Holy Spirit, reveals to you that you're a helpless sinner and that you don't have one plea in the sight of God but grace and mercy. Oh, thank God when the terror of God and the fear of hell gets a hold of your heart. Thank God for the day when your heart did melt. I'm glad that the Savior I'm preaching about is able to melt a hardened heart and change a wicked heart. Oh, yes, He is. And she said, "Neither was there any courage in any man." Thank God He's able to turn your will from the place of rebellion to the place of submission. He's able to cause your heart to lose its hold on sin and lose its hold on the pleasure of the world and cause you as an individual to turn to Christ and take Him as your Lord and Savior. And she had lost all courage to face the future
knowing that she was under the condemnation and the sentence of destruction. She asked the spies in verse 13 to give her a true token that her life would be spared and those in her family would be spared. Her plea for deliverance is answered in this section of Scripture. Thank God she was not only corrupt and she was condemned, but she was convicted or convinced that only God, through the work of these messengers, could show her the way of safety. Let me say, number three, not only do we see her guilt, and not only do we see here her gracious conviction, but we also see her glorious conversion. In the record of Scripture here, we see that a covenant was made, and that the spies showed her a promise that she could be saved alive, that she could be spared from the destruction. And that involved a scarlet cord. And I just threw it out so you could visualize it this morning, so you could see. And she let those spies down by a scarlet cord. I'm sure is much larger than this one I have, that they were let out of the window. Now let me remind you that the same cord that brought those spies to safety and sent them back to Joshua and the Israelites is going to be the same cord that is going to also cause her to be brought to safety when the destruction comes to the city of Jericho. I personally believe that when the walls fell, that the only house standing on the walls of Jericho was the house of Rahab. And there in the window was that scarlet cord. Oh, yes, the covenant promise was made. And it was agreed upon. It was a sign of identification, that scarlet cord and that covenant promise. Let me say that that cord made her safe and that covenant made her sure. The work that had been secured by the scarlet cord. Now let me say that in the Scripture, we believe there are types and shadows. That there are four gleams in the Old Testament of New Testament truths. I believe that from Genesis to Revelation, there is a scarlet cord. And that scarlet cord is the message of the blood of Christ. Let me say that if you get into the pearly white city of God, you will not get there because you're a Baptist. You will not get there because you're a moralist. You'll not get there because that you're part of some secret organization. But if you get into the pearly white city of God, you'll get there because of the scarlet cord of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. That scarlet cord made her safe, and that covenant promise made her sure. She said, now, our entire house, they said, you get your brother, and you get your sister, and you bring your father, and you bring your mother, and you bring them home to thee. Verse number 18 said, you bring them home to thee. And then he said in verse 19, whosoever shall be with thee in the house. Oh, you go, Christian friend, you go and you get your brother. And you go and you get your mother. And you say, you come to our house because we've already got behind the scarlet cord. Oh, we've already got behind the scarlet cord. And there's just one place of safety. There's just one place. Judgment's coming. Condemnation has already been sentenced upon our place and upon our people. And there's just one way out. And that's to make sure that you're behind the scarlet cord. Oh, I say to you today, go get your brother. Go get your sister. Go get your father. Go get your mother. And make sure they come home to safety in Christ. There's only one place of safety, and that is behind the scarlet cord. The covenant promise was remembered on that day when the walls of the city came down and the city was burned with fire. That scarlet line. She said in verse 21, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away. They departed and she bound the scarlet line in the window. That is the very time they left
I believe when they left out that window by that scarlet cord, she went over there and made sure it was well anchored. She said, they're coming back. But when they come back, they'll see this scarlet line hanging out the window. Oh, I'm glad that almost 40 years ago now, I heard the gospel of Christ, how he hung out on a hill called Calvary on an old rugged cross and bled and died for my sins. I say, bless the name of God. Thank God for the Lamb of God which gave himself so I can be saved. And he hung out there on Calvary a scarlet cord and said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. I love the way the Lord changed Rahab. She goes all the way from a house that is a harlot's house, all the way from the harlot's house to the hall of fame. Oh, she is listed among Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and other heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. How is it that a scarlet sinner gets behind a scarlet cord and she finds herself in the book of God in the hall of fame? Hallelujah. How is it God could take some of us who were hell bent and set on our lives going down the road of rebellion and destruction? How is it that you and I were hell bent to rebel against the holy God? How is it that you and I were so full of rebellion that we decided not to have anything to do with church or God of the Bible? And then one day, hallelujah, through the good news of the gospel and the power of God, God broke in on our hearts and our lives. And we went all the way from the scarlet life of sin, hallelujah, to the holy halls of the book of God. Oh, the Bible said we're to rejoice because our names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, I found out that Rahab went from the history of the Old Testament to the halls of the New Testament. Not only that, Rahab got her name written down in the holy book of God. Oh, yeah. How is it that you could have your name written down for condemnation? Then now your name's written down in the book of God. Oh, yeah. Rejoice because your names have been written down in heaven in the book of life. How is it that God can take scarlet sinners and wash their sins away? Oh, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, Isaiah said. How is it that God can take those whose sins are glaringly wrote out in the record books of God and then one day say no more and take our record and wash it white as snow? How is it? Only by the scarlet blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I found out that not only was Rahab corrupt, not only was she convicted, not only was she changed, but she was commemorated in the book of God. Now, this is an amazing thing to me, and I've already mentioned it just a minute ago, but let me pull it all together and I'm finished. Rahab is here, a wonderful portrait of how a person comes to Christ, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful she's in the record of Joshua in the Old Testament history. Not only that, she also is in the New Testament. We find her record in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. In James 2:25, she's found where the scripture said, likewise also was Rahab, the harlot, justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them another way. The Hebrew writer magnifies her faith. And James magnifies her works. The Hebrew writer shows us how she trusted Christ. And then James shows us how she was transformed into a different person than she was before. And then the other amazing thing is this, is that she is found in the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 5. Here's an amazing thing. How is it that someone so scarlet stained with sin could have her name so now closely associated
with the purest one that ever lived. How is it that someone who was in a condemned place as a condemned person and certain to die under the judgment of God could now come to have her name written in the same book that announces the coming of Christ? I say surely that is a demonstration of the grace of God and the power of Christ. I thank the Lord that He's brought us as well from guilt to grace, from the scarlet life of sin into the pure life of salvation. And He's brought us from our names written down among sinners headed for hell and placed our name in the book of life. Now up there in heaven, can you imagine it? I like to imagine it. Please forgive me, but I do. I like to imagine it. It's one of the things I'm looking forward to when I get to heaven. I'm looking forward to being able to see my name in the book of life. Maybe that doesn't appeal to you, but it does to me. I not only want to hear it called, but I want to look in. I'll say, yeah, there it is. There it is. It's in the book of God. There's my name in the book of God. A scarlet sinner and a scarlet cord. Let's bow our heads in prayer.